Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure, and he's Mark Potash. Welcome to Howl's Intrigue. And guys, in the upcoming episode, we will wonder whether the Bears are the happiest 3-6 team we've ever seen in our lives. We'll break down what Justin Fields did on Sunday and could do going forward, and we'll make our picks for the Lions game coming up. All that and more on Howl's Intrigue. Jason, the Bears are 3-6, but boy, you wouldn't feel it. It doesn't feel that way this week. Justin Fields' record-setting performance has left the city, I think, really excited, and it feels like the locker room's trending that way, too.
It helps with Justin Fields that this is not just a one-off, that he had a really big, exciting game against the Dolphins. It's really part of a five-game stretch. Mm-hmm. He's had this five, and that goes back even before the now soon-to-be, like, are they going to build a statue to the mini-bye? Is there going to be, who's going to do an oral history of what went on during the mini-bye? But it goes back before that. Justin Fields is in the most efficient passing stretch of his career, and he's averaging 91 yards rushing per game over those five games. So he is giving you, you know, about 260 yards per game of total offense during that stretch. I don't think he's going to continue to rush for 90 yards a game, probably going to be closer to like 50 right over the long run. I think that's what he's been for most of his short career. So he's got to get the passing numbers up. It really doesn't matter how he gets to 250 to 300 yards passing total output. Of total offense between rushing and passing. It doesn't really matter how he divides that up, but he does need to be in that range. Mm-hmm. And 123 yards passing, he's going to have to bring that up because he's not always going to run for 178 yards and set the NFL record every single week. But I think the overall game that he's been playing for the last 5 weeks is on track. I'm not sold. I'm not convinced. I couldn't just sit here and make the decision right now. Okay, he's the guy. Don't draft a quarterback this offseason. But I would say if you're looking at a schedule of where someone like him should be, he's 100% on schedule right now.
Potsy, he's probably more ahead of schedule than any other quarterback drafted in his class. Is that overstating things?
No, it's not. If you look at the total season, I think Trevor Lawrence is probably the one guy you got to keep an eye on. In fact, that class had a really good of the three of the four active players from that first round all had pretty good all had passer ratings over 100 or 100 or more. Mm-hmm. Wilson, Lawrence, and Fields. So they're all doing well. But yeah, right now, based on like Jason said, more than just 1 week, it's not getting excited about one game. To me, the biggest indicator is just the accuracy. That was the one thing I said at the beginning of the year was what. The red flag about Justin Fields was this: him missing these simple throws. And you can even point them out. I mean, off the top of your head, the overthrow to Cole Kmet was intercepted. That miss on the swing pass to Ebner. Mm-hmm. Things like that. If you're in a developmental phase, you've got to make those. You've got to be accurate. And Fields' accuracy has been improved. It's followed. It's funny. People mocked the whole idea of the comparison to Josh Allen. But the big key for him was accuracy in the first 15 games, bad. Accuracy after that, good. And it doesn't mean he's going to be the same player, but he's followed that template. Because I pointed out the numbers in first and 10, can't remember exactly what they were. But something like 57% in the first part of the season, not good. And since then, 65%, even when he was only throwing for 100 yards a game or not having great pass rates. So to me, the big thing is the accuracy, which is, I think, it's a huge key for anybody in any quarterback in this day and age. And I think that's just a really good sign that he at least can sustain this.
And he has things around him that could help that improve with Chase Claypool kind of wading into the offense now. I would expect he's going to play more of a full role Sunday against the Lions and beyond. The offensive line maybe a little bit better with Riley Reiff in there instead of Larry Bourne. But Mark, I mean, we can talk a lot about, and this is what matters most, is the big picture implications with Justin Fields' play. But in the short term, like Pat was saying, it's a 3-6 team that you actually like watching. I mean, these games have been interesting and entertaining, and that is something in and of itself because this TV show is on every week, and it has not been a very good show the last few years. People are sitting through 16, 14 games. And even at the beginning of this season, 2012 or 1911 or something like that, you really have something to watch on Sundays that's exciting now, don't you?
And it says a lot about the Bears that this is what a rebuilding season is. They've had so many times where they've been kind of rebuilding but kind of not. There's always been a Cutler in the way, or a Forte, or some, or a deal, or a great defense, or something. This is a rebuilding season. I think that's why. And I mentioned this to a couple guys of our brethren in the media yesterday in the locker room. This is the best 3-6 locker room I've ever been in, and I mean that. And that is true. I mean, we've been there where when the Bears are 3-6, nobody wants to talk. Everybody's hiding. These guys not only were available, but you know. You could just tell. They feel good about themselves. Right. And that's not wrong. A year from now, that will be wrong.
Sure.
But right now, that's not wrong. They are where they're supposed to be. They're 3-6. They're playing well, losing games. I mean, this is how some teams, how some good teams build. And there's nothing wrong with it.
They also don't have enough high talent or high paid, super talented players who ducked the media, to be quite
well,
honest.
Well, that dynamic is totally different. In right. fact, a little inside baseball or inside football, I guess. Even a guy like why is the Bears locker room so much better now? Even a guy like when Roquan Smith was a rookie, and he was like the fifth or sixth option right. with Danny Trevathan and Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack and all that, he was a once a week guy. He was a guy who would be available in the locker room once a week, get the big crowd. Now he's just the opposite, or he was when he was here. Right. He was the top dog, could have easily been literally, legitimately the once a week guy, and he was a guy who was available, maybe not every day, but when you needed him. He was around. The dynamic has totally changed on this team as the name players have left, and it's a sign that they are comfortable with where they are, and as long as they keep getting better, that's a good thing.
Jason, it's a happy town in addition to a happy locker room. I have a personal theory that people who are Bears fans, like fans of every other team, play fantasy football. People gamble on them. Most people take overs, not unders. Most people want to see offense because it helps fantasy teams. In general, do you think the happiness comes with just the fan base here being exposed to a style of football that the rest of America has been playing for 50 years and the Bears finally seemed to catch up with? Like, is 30 points, win or lose, always going to be fun here?
We were never getting to 30 points.
Well, that's what I'm saying now.
It was just never happening. Right. You were never getting to 30 points. It was the Matt Nagy score 17 points and pray it's enough every week experience. And this is way better. I mean, 33 against the Patriots, 30 almost against the Cowboys.
But is giving up 49 better?
Well, that's the life that you have here. Right. Because, Mark, we keep asking them, this feels like almost pointless to keep asking them what they're going to do to fix the defense, because what you do to fix the defense is get better players. This is what you have. You have a roster. You have a starting defense full of fifth-round picks and undrafted guys and one-year contract cast-offs who are available very cheap, and that's going to be a defense that no matter how well you coach it and how well-intentioned and hard effort those guys play, like that's a defense that's going to give up 35, 50 points, you know, on a regular basis. It's going to happen.
And they've kind of accelerated that by trading Robert Quinn and trading Roquan Smith. They're now at the point where they're making their offense better. We haven't seen it as much yet because Claypool just got here. But they're making their offense better at the expense of their defense. And the difference is you know, we had the same situation in 2018 where the head coach's side of the ball was the one that was lagging. And the difference is that Matt Eberflus has a track record of getting his side of the ball right. Might not happen this year, but you know eventually, based on what he did in Indy with a similar cast, that he will get it right. Nagy did not have that. He did not have that cachet or legitimacy.
He didn't call plays for the Chiefs teams that were good.
Yeah. You also see the rookies playing well is another reason why. Like Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon are not stars right now.
They're building.
But you could see that happening for those guys.
So they're built. So to me, it's a totally different dynamic, if you will, about what's happening here. So I guess my point is I'm not lamenting the defense like I was the offense under Nagy, because at least there's some confidence that they will get it right. And good point. Some of their better prospects are their younger players who you can see, maybe it's more hope at this point, but guys like Brisker, Gordon, they're going to be good. They're going to get better as the defense gets better.
What do you think of Sanborn, Potsy?
Well, I don't know what to make of Sanborn. I don't know if he's just a fill-in guy or one of these guys who comes out of nowhere and actually is your starting middle linebacker for for 5 or 6 years. That's why I was asking Alan Williams that today about, you know, was there a play he made that was more than, you know, because like I said, and when I asked the question was, you know, a middle linebacker can get you 10 tackles, and it might not be great because he's in the middle, he's going to get plays. But was there anything he did that that really
really made a play?
Really made a play, and he did point it out. I can't remember exactly. I didn't get a chance to look at it. But Alan Williams, the various defensive coordinator, did pick out a play that he said really showed. I think just the football gene. I think is what he was trying to say. That this guy knows, you know, can sense it, can be a step ahead of the play, can anticipate things, and I think that's a good sign. So yeah, I think. I don't know. I'm not expert enough on defense to know. But so far, it looks like they're looking at him as somebody, a potential regular starter, instead of just a fill-in to keep things at bay until they can get a replacement for Roquan Smith or Nick Morrow, who was playing that position.
Jason, the offensive coordinator Luke Getsy today used the word miraculous when describing Justin Fields, certain plays Justin Fields ran on Sunday. He did that unironically. That's as strange to me as Matt Eberflus sitting down after the game and saying, well, this is a great day for the franchise because the quarterback was there, or was where he was. Big picture, you said you're not convinced that Justin Fields is going to be their quarterback next year? To me, I think I've reached that point.
Good.
You're not?
He's where he should be right now, but I mean, you need to see him continue to rise from here over the rest of the season.
What of the five guys that were drafted with him or alongside him, I think we established he's either one or two. What do you need to see? Is this not enough?
He's got to improve as a passer still. He can't be thrown for 170 yards a game, even during the best stretch of his career, and thinking that that's going to be enough production, and he knows that. He talked about that this week, that he wants to see more production from himself as a passer. He's on track for where he should be at a year and a half in.
Okay.
But he's got to keep going. That's got to keep going up. This can't just be kind of a plateau for him.
It can still change. I mean, the narrative can still change, Pat, I think. I think two or three games down the road. I think it's more likely that it won't, because normally what happens is you're good against Detroit and Atlanta, and then you play Dallas and New England, and you're bad.
Right.
He's doing it just the opposite. He was good against New England. He was good against Dallas. Miami, not as great a defense, but still, you know, not the worst defense in the league, and was great against them. And now he's playing the 32nd-ranked defense in the league in Detroit and 31st in Atlanta the next 2 weeks.
Sure.
Now it changes to can he meet expectations?
Sure.
So my original point is I would lean more towards him certainly being a guy he's going to be here next year based on just the way he's done it. But I also say, hey, NFL's kind of crazy. There's still enough time in the season, and we've seen it, and maybe a bad example, but Mac Jones was like the guy a year ago at this time, looked like they found their guy, and as recently as 2 weeks ago, it was like, hey, maybe this other guy's better.
If he doesn't play another snap this year, if he gets hit by lightning tomorrow, I think another team would give up a first-round draft pick for him. I think that that's
his value. But you're saying if he doesn't play, he's gonna play. So he's got to. So I think to Jason's point is he's got to continue to show growth. And I guess my point would be I'm optimistic based on the way this thing has gone that he's going to do that. But that makes this game, you know, for getting into looking ahead.
Yep.
This game is really interesting. It's because it would confirm that. Let's put it this way, it could unconfirm. If he's bad, then you got a problem. But really, it's an opportunity that he should do well again.
Well, and you and I were talking about this outside, is that, you know, this is going to be, I think, the first time, Jason, that people are going to come into Soldier Field, sit down, and look at Justin Fields lined up against the worst defense in football and go, entertain me. Let's see it. I think there are expectations now that aren't projection, that are actually... Be as good today as you were last week. And I'm not sure that he's ever really had to deal with that before.
Deal with that has like a negative connotation. That's a good thing for
it's
him.
It's a good problem.
I think that he can do it. Again, with Justin Fields, you got to remember that this guy was never a project.
Right.
This guy was a high first-round pick. he dominated at Ohio State. He didn't come from, like Josh Allen, he didn't come from some school that, you know, we didn't really ever see him on TV or anything like that. Super successful at the highest level of college football, very polished, and then, you know, needs to develop from there.
Right.
And so I don't think that any of this, I don't think that that is an issue for him. I don't think that he's going to be pressured or anything like that to produce now.
I think the issue is more with Getsy and the X's and O's of a team seeing what they can do and what they're doing. And can a defensive coordinator of the 32nd ranked team in the defense in the NFL come up with a plan that at least, you know, that that causes problems for the Bears? That would not be good. But that's what this game is all about. Mm-hmm. Is can they, you know, it's the same old thing. Can the Bears zig when the other team zags? And that's because you know what's going to happen. Now it's out there on film, and let's see if a bad defense can respond to that.
Now that's out there on film, but his running and the design runs and everything. But I don't think that's something that's going to slow down.
Well, that was the whole point last week. Is they actually had a weapon that. The Dolphins said that we were preparing for it. They had a spy. They had everything, and still couldn't do anything about it. That's like a revelation in Chicago. That's never happened.
That's just your strength being something that can't be stopped. Yeah. And if he is, in fact, the best running quarterback in the league, and he's right up there right now statistically with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's like one of the top three or two running quarterbacks in the league, that's not going to be something you can scheme away. He's going to overcome whatever you do to scheme that out.
Well, and you know. As you're saying, if he needs to get better at throwing, that is the way to get around it. If they are scheming for his runs and spying, and I know that won't stop him every time, but the best way to keep other teams honest is for him to complete a 20-yard pass, isn't it?
Yeah, and we got to see some growth there. I think he's definitely got that. Mm-hmm. He's got the ability to do that. We've seen him as a deep passer. We've seen you've seen some really amazing throws from him.
Mm-hmm. Jones dropped one. Yeah,
the touchdown pass to Darnell Mooney last week. I thought it was. I think it was like a 16-yard touchdown pass.
18, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a super long pass yardage wise, but it was long air wise.
Right.
It was probably another, I don't know, 12 or 15 yards air wise, and it was just perfect.
Right.
It was just a perfect throw.
But Potsy, you said that this game is important Sunday for the reasons you laid out about the Lions' bad defense. But how about this? The portion of the fan base that would like the Bears to lose to give them a higher draft pick. This is the kind of game they can ill afford to win.
This game does not fit into that narrative, and I am a big proponent of that. Not trying to do that, but accepting that result. I have to make that distinction. But this is not the game you want that to happen, because if you lose to the Lions, you're probably not good. You're probably bad. They were, I thought, a good team. They were a good team against the Dolphins and still lost.
Yeah.
And did it and played well enough to win and still lost. That was like a perfect scenario where even the reasons they didn't come through at the end were two really well thrown passes. One was a bad call that the league, I think, has acknowledged was a bad call and is not likely to happen. And the other was a drop by a receiver who, you know, frankly, is probably not going to be here next year. So those even
he might not be here next week.
Well, yeah, right. That's how fast things are happening here. But the point is, you didn't lose necessarily because you were bad. You lost because
the other team was better.
So that changes this week. If you lose, especially considering the way Trubisky and Nagy handled the Lions pretty well. That was that was the one team with them and the Vikings, I guess, that they could handle. So to lose to the Lions, and I know the Lions think they're better too, but they haven't been so far. That would not fit into the narrative of play well and lose is a good thing for the Bears, because I don't think that's possible.
You want to see
if they play well here, they're going
to
win.
Right. They need to beat the Lions and the Falcons. Yeah. And Pat, they're 3-6. They could get to 6 or 7 wins and still pick around 10. Like, especially if you don't need to go get a quarterback, you can live with picking 9th or something instead of 4th. And I think that you've talked about that this week, that the next step would be go and beat these teams.
Right.
Go and actually, Justin Fields, overcome whatever your defense is doing, giving up 37 points or whatever, and go and finish the game with wins. I think that would be really valuable to them these next 2 weeks against teams that are absolutely in their weight class. The Dolphins are just the way that they're doing their roster and their expectations and long-term planning. Like, the Dolphins were going for it this year. Maybe they aren't a Super Bowl contender, but they're not in the Bears' weight class. They're way above that. These next two teams, these are teams that the Bears could land some punches
on. These might be the last two games the Bears are favored, except for what? New Year's Day in Detroit might be the third. So yeah, if they're gonna play well and win, it's probably gonna be here. You know, one of the things that I was researching was just that idea that now they got to go win a game. You know, their offense has got to go win a game. Can't, you know, it can't keep them around. They've got to be the reason at the end. And, you know, if you look back, Amir Smith-Marset fumbles, you know, a completion at the 37 going in. Darnell Mooney drops a ball that's a touchdown if he catches it cleanly at the end of the Commanders game. And then last week, you know, you mentioned it, Potsy, you have a pass interference call and then a stone cold drop there. I'm sure the Bears would love to win by 20, but just from a growth standpoint, I would like to see them with the ball and the game tied and them go score. Because that I think, is the next step in this offense.
Yeah, I mean, there's a maturity for every quarterback, every offense, and mostly an offense to do that, because it takes – quarterback can't do that by himself. Not even Fields running around like he did. So that is the next step. And against a team like the Lions, you know, I think you would think it shouldn't have to come down to the last
– You'd hope,
you know,
so,
to the last play. But if it does, that's a game where you want to see them come through. But, yeah, that is definitely the next step. But I guess I would say I don't think if they don't do that this year that there's a big void. I think that's the kind of thing you go – that's a season-to-season maturity that I think the Bears are still on track for.
Yeah, let's get to our picks here real quick. The Sun-Times is all in on the Detroit Lions losing to the Chicago Bears. I think this is like the third time in 3 weeks that we've all been united in who we think will win. That is not good. That is not good pod, but that is where we stand here. Jason, you've got them 39-32. I've got the Bears 43-42.
Those would both be fun. Fun Sunday to watch.
How about this? The Lions give up 6.39 yards per play, Potsy. In the history of football, only four teams have ever given up more. And then, Potsy, you've got them at 31-24. Potsy, you go first. What's your rationalization here?
Well, I just think the Bears are going to score. I think the Bears are just going to score a lot of points, and I think their offense is moving upward against, you know, pretty good defenses, and they should score 31. Let me say this, and I've got to look back. I meant to look back at this. That might be the first time I've called for the Bears. I've been picking Bears games on the cheat sheet for 17 years. And I have to look back and see how many times I've picked the Bears to score 31 points in a game. That shows an advancement in itself. Just so we're all picking, what were the scores? Some of you had 40, Jason?
Well, I have 43, Jason's got 39, Lawrence Holmes got 30, yeah. Tallender's got 25, and Rick Morrissey's got 31.
Well, I can guarantee you that's never happened before. Mm-hmm. Even when the Bears were scoring points that 1 year, maybe it was 2 years ago, against Jacksonville, right. And I can't remember who it was when they scored a ton of points or whatever. Yeah. It was not even predicted because you had no faith in the
right.
And that's kind of the point. This is based not just on the opponent, but a faith in the offense and a faith in the quarterback. And so that's really what my pick is about, is that I have faith based on what I've seen that this offense and this quarterback will take the next step against a defense that is just, you know, asking them to beat them.
Jason, are the Lions dangerous at all?
Yeah, they are, because any team that's lining up against the Bears' defense becomes dangerous. So when you know you could come in here and reasonably expect to score in the 30s, mm-hmm. you can always win that game.
If you have a Bear or a Lion on your fantasy team this week, you should probably play them. That would be my advice, unless it's the defense.
And if the Bears are chasing, you never know, an early turnover, an early score, you get down. I don't know if the Bears are. I mean, they've done it before when they've fallen behind. But I mean, there's no guarantee. So I mean, I could see. Hey, nothing surprised me in the NFL. So I'm not saying this is no lock. I'm not saying that.
No. This is a 3-6 team against a 2-6 team. So
yeah, they're not that much different. So there's no doubt things can happen.
Yeah, the difference right now is the quarterback, and I think that's coloring the way both fan bases are looking at this game and that and their own team. And we will talk about all of that after it happens. Until then, he's Jason Leisure, he's Mark Potash, I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back Sunday night from Soldier Field to break down the Bears-Lions game. Until then, check us out on Twitter, if Twitter still exists by the time you read this, the Sun-Times website, and of course the Sun-Times in print. That'll do it for us. We will be back again real soon.